Good afternoon. Welcome to In Focus with Insight. My name is Masinda Marevero. Today I am joined by Nomfundo Kabela. Hi, Nomfundo.
Hi, Masinda. How are you?
No, I'm good. Thanks. Thank you for agreeing to come onto the podcast so shortly after you've spoken.
Thank you for the invite.
No. So I guess it's first time we're meeting. Yes. Can't believe I've never come across you in healthcare. So now maybe just kick us off, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where do you work? What do you do?
Sure. Thank you. So I work at Healthbridge as the strategic relationships executive. Mm-hmm. And my division is really the only B2B business unit within our organization. Most of our services and products are doctor facing. And the services that we provide in my business unit are specifically for hospitals, as well as path labs. And obviously funders would be our clients as well, because, you know, they kind of facilitate the whole switching environment. And we've now moved into more greenfield kind of markets like your pharmaceuticals. And yeah, we're growing and seeing where things take us in terms of greenfield opportunities in healthcare.
Okay. No, really interesting. I guess that's who you are professionally. Where's home? Where are you from? Where were you born?
Maritzburg girl through and through. So Zulu girl, traveled quite a bit in my youth, including overseas, where my father was studying mm-hmm. for various degrees until he reached his PhD. And the countries include Scotland as well as New York City. Then came back to South Africa. I'm a South African girl. Love being in this country, although I've lived overseas. I'm South African undiluted.
Okay. I mean, something you mentioned before was just you've done quite a bit of work around the African continent. Yes. What was that like?
That was really amazing. It made me, having grown up outside of the country and spending a significant amount of time outside of the country, you long for home. Even though you can't remember what home was like, because I left pretty young. But every time I've traveled into any country, into the rest of Africa, it reminds me of home.
Yep.
I don't know if that makes any sense. Yeah, like my soul settles, my soul feels at peace, my soul feels inspired. Mm. And given my professional background, I feel more inspired to make a real difference.
Okay. Is today you gave a talk on AI in healthcare?
Yes.
Do you want to just maybe just give us a quick summary about what your talk was about, key points to highlight?
Sure, thank you. So yeah, my talk was really around how AI is here to support doctors in terms of decision making and improving the quality of care that they give to their patients. It's not about AI taking away roles or taking away jobs or diluting the roles of doctors. It's really how AI is really just there as a supporting tool. And again, I want to reiterate, it's a tool. So some of the things that I highlight within my talk is that the quality of care really consists of three factors or three components. It's the doctor's level of expertise, it's the time available with the patient, and it's the information that the doctor has available at the time of care. And AI can help the doctor save significant amount of time, as well as make him more efficient by improving his expertise, by improving the amount of information he has at the beginning of a consultation, as well as obviously then freeing him up or her up, excuse me, to be able to provide the best quality of a consultation that they can give at the moment of care. And that's really where the rubber hits the road.
Just to go to the start, you talk about AI being a tool to support healthcare workers. I mean, in your experience, where does the hesitancy come from?
I think the hesitancy comes from a lack of understanding what AI is. There's been quite a lot of information that's been conflated. You know, AI will take everybody's job. AI will make you redundant. AI will do the job of a doctor. The reality is there are very few jobs that AI can do from start to finish. Yes, there are components that can involve AI, that can incorporate AI, that can leverage, you know, the benefits of AI. But the reality is that particularly in medicine, AI lacks the ability of situational decision making. Only a doctor can take information and what they see and put it together to be able to make a diagnosis. So what AI is there to do is almost to be the doctor's wingman or co-pilot to make what they do that much better.
And I mean, you know, for example, my mom is a clinician. She's been practicing for 40 years. It might take a bit of time to convince otherwise. Sure. But I mean, what's the journey? I mean, how do you work? I mean, just if I think about, you know, what HealthBridge does as a business, there's quite a big focus on clinicians.
Yes.
I mean, how do you guys navigate that? I mean, your key clients, the world is changing.
Yes.
And I mean, what kind of stuff do you guys do that sort of helps clinicians along this journey?
Yeah. I mean, I guess the first step, given how new digitization is in healthcare, we are probably one of the slowest industries to digitize. And so we're really kind of in the early parts of digitization, particularly in South Africa. I guess the first step in somebody wanting to really be able to explore and exploit, for lack of a better word, AI and technology within the healthcare space is first they need to digitize, particularly if they're a clinician. Move away from the yellow files. The moment you move away from those yellow files and you begin to digitize, the more you're able to see patterns. Because if you're going through 12 years of my medical history and you only have physical copies of my path labs, you're not going to be able to pick up trends in any of my, you know, lab markers of any kind that easily. Whereas your AI can do that by just, you know, kind of going through the patient's data. So that's the first step. Move to an electronic medical record system. Definitely helps to save time, definitely helps to improve the quality of care, because you can then have tools embedded in that EMR that will bring up a patient summary right at the beginning of a consultation as you open up the patient's file. This patient is 44 years old. They've got hypertension with a comorbidity of diabetes. Their last path test was XYZ. We need to look out for this. These are their allergies. That's not available for doctors at the moment.
Just on that, I mean, if I just think just practically, I mean, I've worked in healthcare for over a decade.
Sure.
When I started working, we're talking about an electronic health record. Don't really have one that's industry-wide at the moment. And I guess just given the dependency of data, of AI on data, in terms of the training data, is how do we solve for that? Because, you know, it doesn't seem like there is any electronic health record on the way anytime soon. So how do we solve for that? Because AI is here.
Yes.
So how do you, like, how do we move forward?
That's a great question. And as far as I'm concerned, the root of that question sits within the fragmented nature of our healthcare system, the silos of the funders, the silos of the hospital groups, the silos of the pharmacy groups, the pharmaceuticals, and none of them feeling free enough to share information because there's a lot of mistrust, which doesn't make sense to me because we all service or have the same customer in mind. And I believe that once we can figure out how to collaborate to even some small degree across, you know, all of these players, we will move closer to be able to having industry-wide EMRs or EHRs. So in our organization at HealthBridge, yes, we are not a ubiquitous EMR that's available to anyone. I mean, it's open to anyone who wants to subscribe and become a user. But what we have done is that we've taken a new strategy and we have positioned ourselves as a platform and no longer as just an EMR. And the connotation there is that a platform has components that are inherent or built by the owners of the platform, but also integrate to third-party apps that enhance the services or enhance the experience of the platform. And we've done exactly that. I mean, currently we've got our own apps and services that exist in our environment, but then we integrate with, for instance, MX Node, which is for our anaesthetist, built by anaesthetist, and helps anaesthetist navigate, you know, theater bookings and billing, et cetera, et cetera. And we've got another one called Alchemed, which is specific for cutting specialists, which does exactly the same thing. And we're in constant communication with other third-party providers where we can create partnerships that enhance the experience and the value that the doctors are getting, because ultimately it's the patient that benefits from all of that. So in our own little kind of micro environment, we are trying to grow beyond ourselves and expand into more of an ecosystem than just you know, a linear EMR.
Okay. And I guess maybe just to wrap off, let's go a little bit left. Right before your talk, we had Dr. Masike, from HSPCA. Just what are your thoughts in terms of how do we regulate AI and usage in healthcare?
Sure, that's a very big question. And again, I'm not a specialist in here, but I think we need to create policies. I mean, we need to start with that, because we're sitting with nothing at the moment, and AI is a reality to the extent that even our EMR is beginning to pilot and put out products that leverage AI. Mm-hmm. There definitely needs to be good governance that's set around that. And I suppose we could leverage off what Papia has or speaks to in this instance. But I do think we need to focus on the ethics of AI, particularly within that healthcare environment, and ensure that AI isn't used to nefarious ends,
yes,
essentially. Indeed. So again, those policies would put the guardrails on what's ethical and what's unethical, and obviously protect patients and citizens at large.
Okay. No, thanks. I mean the session this morning was really good. I mean, we had a regulator talk about AI, then I think you and Dr. Raff spoke about, just from a provider, I guess for Brian as a provider,
yeah,
and for you as someone who supports providers, I think it was really interesting. And I mean, thanks for taking the time to chat. Last question before you go: you've lived in lots of places. What's your favorite? You can't say any place in South Africa.
Okay. Kenya. I lived in Nairobi for a couple of years. Amazing country, amazing people. It's such an open-hearted country. Really enjoyed it, and I'm hoping to find many new favorite places as I travel more of the world.
Okay. No, good. No, thanks for taking time to chat.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks.